This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Heartwarming reunions, heartbreaking losses. Our favorite inmates dealt with a lot in this very heavy episode 4 of Orange is the New Black. Stay tuned. We're diving right in.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Yes. Hello, AfterBuzzers. How's it going? What's up, ladies?
Hi.
Hey. Hello. Thank you for joining us here at AfterBuzz TV. We are diving into episode 4 of Orange is the New Black. And this was a heavy, heavy episode. Hello, I'm Leslie Corral. You can catch me online at LeslitaFace. Here are my lovely ladies on the panel today.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Francesca, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
Hey, everybody. This is Brianna Cheyenne. You can find me on Instagram at IMB_Cheyenne, CHIANNE.
All right. So we have gotten, you know, we're getting pretty deep into this final season of Orange is the New Black. And this episode, a lot of stuff happened. Yeah. It was heavy. We saw really amazing reunions that we have, you know, been waiting over a season to see, which was amazing. But then our inmates also dealt with a lot of really crazy loss and some turns. You know, we had Thorna's baby, really, really sad.
Yes.
Gut punch. Tasty, you know, sort of trying to find her way into ending things this episode. And then a lot of, you know, stuff happening with, you know, our favorite BFFs.
Yes.
Back together again. What are y'all's initial thoughts of this episode?
I was really scared about what was going to happen when Maritza and Marisol found each other, because I knew it would be too easy. And so I was on edge the whole time.
Yeah, I feel you. I was worried about that too, because I kind of had like this little like gut feeling that, I mean, there's a reason why she's kind of stuck in the ICE detention center.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a lot of heavy stuff, and the ending got me so worried. But it looks like we'll be okay for a minute.
Yeah.
Just a minute.
I mean, I was really happy that we got that really happy moment of joy between them. Mm-hmm. That was really fun. So let's backtrack to, like, the episode starts with, you know, we have some of our favorite ladies once again reuniting, and they're going to be part of a kitchen crew again. And, you know, we've got them waiting for the bus to take them to their new gig, which at first they're like, you know, where are we going? Which, by the way, we see Battison officially leaving.
Right.
What'd you guys think of that? Getting transferred away.
Good
are
riddance.
We happy to see her go?
Yes. So ready.
Exactly. So then they get to their new ICE detention location, and they figure out what they're going to be doing. And then, you know, they open up the windows for the inmates to come collect, you know, get their food. And then you just have all these moments. You also see them, you know, Blanca reuniting with Gloria. And there's all these questions like, what's going on? What was y'all's favorite part of that reunion moment?
I thought it was so cute when oh my god, Flacca and Maritza saw each other.
Yeah.
Just like the little comments they said, like, oh my god, you still look so cute.
Yes.
And like, you know, they're super excited to see each other. So that was
like, bitch, I'm still hot.
Yeah. Straight to the vanity. Straight to the vanity. But that was like the core of their friendship. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it so pure. So I love that.
Yeah. And it was really cool because they haven't seen each other in a long time, but all of the women felt like they instantly wanted to help their situation as soon as they could, which was really, that was really nice.
Mm.
In this episode, we also got a little bit of insight into Blanca's situation, which we hadn't in the past, and a little bit of what's happened with her and her boyfriend, Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that couple. I feel like they're a really strong
you know, holding it down, ride or die. So when she kind of hints that, like, you know, he's not in the picture, he's not involved, we really didn't know what was happening. And we got answers in this episode. What was some of y'all's thoughts about, like, what we learned a little bit from Blanca's past storyline?
I think that it was really great that she was able to go to Gloria and ask for help with the situation, because mm-hmm. nobody really knows what's happening. And so Gloria was hesitant at first, which is understandable, because she's like, girl, I'm getting out in the summer. I'm not going to jeopardize my future because I need to help my friends, but I'm going to do what I can. So, but we got to see a little bit of Gloria's past, which connected dots as well. So I'm glad that they saw the opportunity and they took it. So we'll see how far that gets.
I literally completely forgot watching this episode what had happened to Diablo, him getting detained by ICE too. Mm-hmm. So, Blanca was there when that happened. So, how does she think that Gloria's going to get a hold of him?
I don't know.
That just, like, hit me right now.
Yeah. Like, maybe through family.
Well, it doesn't seem like Blanca's had any access to outside people at all. Whereas, like, and they've kind of made it clear, like, the inmates have more rights. And so maybe, you know, I feel like she sees someone who has an opportunity to have some sort of connection to the outside and help. And you're right, Gloria's backstory, you know, we got to see a lot of, like, you know, what her decisions were when she moved from Puerto Rico to New York and her choices, and we saw her leave her kids behind and they're all in the bathtub together and she's telling them, hey, you know, I'm doing this for a better life for us. You know, we're going to have a bigger space. We're going to have bunk beds. We don't have to share the beds. And I think what was important was that her daughters were like, no, but we don't mind. We don't like, you know, we just don't want to see you go. But she thought she was doing the right thing for them. But then as the episode, you know, keeps going, you realize that, like, you know, 1 year turned into 2 years, which turned into many years. And that may have not ended up being the best decision for her kids.
Yeah, that was actually really heartbreaking because, I mean, you think of the general sense of stories like parents leaving and then leaving their families and sending money and then coming back for them later. But you don't mm-hmm. think about it, like, for real, because mm-hmm. it's not something that's going on in your life necessarily. Like, for me, that wasn't the case. But I really appreciated her friend at that moment when she was first pregnant with her first son outside the store. And she was like, no, you need to go back and get your girls because they're waiting for you. And then you see later, it's years down the line, it's like almost like she just started a whole new family without her girls, even though mm-hmm. she was doing it for them. But, like, the essence was missing. Mm-hmm. And that really, really touched me, where she's has the bunk beds that she promised the girls, but she's there pregnant with her second son and her first son, and they're like, no, we're not coming. They're like, grown up.
Yeah.
And that was really hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I actually think that scene said so much because it just showed you how out of touch she was with her daughters. Like, they were clearly, like, I don't know, I would say like 8 or 9 or younger when she left them, and they looked like they were grown teenagers by that time. They don't want bunk beds. Like, she doesn't even realize mm-hmm. what their needs or wants anymore. And she just thinks, like, oh, they're going to come back and we're going to be a happy family. I finally made it happen.
Yeah.
But it's too late.
Yeah.
And it's a classic story of more isn't always better. Because she had the opportunity before, but she wanted to be half owner of the store. Yes. And then her friend's like, you need the apartment for your girls. And she's always like, no, no, no. Like, I need more. I need more. I need more. And that's why so much time got away. And I'm just thinking about how many times that happens to so many. Because mm-hmm. my family is Jamaican. Like, I have immigrant family members. And so I know firsthand of how time can just get away from you when you're pursuing this American dream and other things that are more important can fall to the wayside.
Yeah, and it's probably one of those things where she didn't realize she had the best intentions, but at the end of the day, like, that you lost all of that valuable time with your kids. And I think it's interesting because if in past seasons, I always remember Gloria talking about her son, Benny. He's mm-hmm.
That's all you've ever heard.
You never hear her talking about her older two daughters.
Yeah, I was surprised that she even had two daughters. Exactly. I was like, where did these girls come from?
So I think that was a lot of insight into her character. And this episode, we also got a chance to see her kind of uplift her friend, Red, who kind of is finding her purpose again, coming alive in the kitchen, which was really nice. And mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't seen
feisty red in a while, and we haven't fully seen her yet, but we're getting like little hints of it.
I feel like we're losing her though.
I know.
Really slowly, very slowly. And I think, I mean, we talked about this in the previous episodes that like you were saying, like, does she have dementia? Yeah. Like, what's going on? She's like forgetting things. You know, that scene where she told Lorna, like, oh, I think it was Lorna, like, get the potatoes, and they hadn't even talked about potatoes yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And at the end, she was like, what's your name again? Mm-hmm. And I think Gloria had a moment, too. I think it was Gloria that was looking at her. Or was it
when they were
Nikki?
Chopping. Oh, Nikki.
And looking at her just like, there's something, like, off.
Definitely. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. Because when I think it was Maritza was chopping the onions, and Gloria was showing Maritza how to chop it, or Nikki how to chop it, somebody. And Red was watching Gloria and was mimicking what she was doing, like she had to remember how to chop it herself. And then when Nikki was talking to somebody at the window about the food, and then she's like, get those chicken, and then she paused for a really long time, and then that's when she was like, breast, and I'm like, girl.
Honestly, I couldn't understand. I didn't understand what she said, but now I get it.
That's what happened, and I'm like, girl, that's losing it.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, like we said, like she's one of the older cast members, and just for her to lose her passion, which is cooking, like, So yeah, it's sad. It sucks because, like, we are seeing a spark of her. Because she's back in the kitchen. She's getting where she likes. She even said in the van on the way back, like, oh, I felt like myself. But, like, we see that we're also, like, losing her, too.
Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't notice that. But now that you're pointing it out, I kind of thought that it might have just been, you know, still remnants from her dealing with her time in SHU. Mm-hmm. And she still hadn't recovered as quickly, maybe as quickly as Gloria. But I hadn't thought of that. That could be something that could be showing some deterioration. But I did see, like, some sparks of her in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So we'll kind of, I guess, see where that goes. Yeah. you know, this episode also, we saw Tasty. And she, someone who is going, you know, slowly downhill and, like, sort of finding no purpose in her life. You know, she hits up Daya for some of the same poison drugs that, you know, she knows has been going around. That was kind of shocking. I really was not expecting that. What about you?
Not at all.
No, me neither.
Yeah. I think especially with the start of these education programs that Ward is putting in, and makes people think about their futures outside of here, and it just sparks in Tasty, I have no future outside of here. I'm not getting outside of here. And so for her to go as far as to go as low as Daya, and it still breaks my heart to see Daya in this situation that she's in. It's disappointing, but I like the exchange that they had in the closet when Daya said, you're letting them win when you do this. And she's like, no, they want me to stay alive so I can sit here and waste my life. So I'm letting them win if I stay alive.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like, how many inmates right now have that type of mindset?
I mean, yeah, because you see that her appeals got denied for Tasty. And then Ward, you know, is like, we're going to rehabilitate you guys for when you get out. And she's like, okay, I'm never getting out. Like, yeah, that must be really tough, especially when it's you're not in there for, like, outrageous crimes.
Exactly. I had two thoughts with her scene with Daya, which is, one, Daya is so stone cold. Like, I know we've seen this from her already, but I cannot get used to how stone cold she is. Yeah. Like, this is someone who was her friend, and now she's just like, all right, fine. If you want it, it's going to be a grand. Yeah. Like, she's so business now, which is crazy. And then, yeah, I feel like this is a side of Tasty that we haven't seen. She's usually the spark of hope, the one pushing them forward, and she's totally lost that now. So that's definitely it's tough to watch.
Yeah.
And then speaking of, you know, we have the new warden, and she's trying to implement these programs, these pamphlets that she's passing out, which I was so annoyed at. What's his face?
Loosecheck.
I was like, can you just fold the damn pamphlets? Like, it's
I don't expect more from him.
Yeah. I know. Does he do anything?
Right.
But what
just
do you,
dance.
Yeah, he's good at that. What did you guys think about some of these initiatives she's trying to do?
I mean, I think it's really good. And I think that's, you know, what prison really should be about is the rehabilitation. And I like that she's taking charge and she's not letting, like, the guys kind of push her around.
Yeah.
Like, the very opening scene when she's walking what's his face? Hopper is walking with Caputo. Mm-hmm. He's like talking all this crap because he thinks that he's coming in for Ward, and then Ward opens the door and she's like, no, I'm still here. Like, I appreciate
and I'm the professor you were just talking about.
So I appreciate that. And I did like that part, just to kind of backtrack with Tasty a little bit. I did like that part where she said, like, you know, you were the one that mentioned bringing back the GED. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this, like, this is, like, for you. Because she's kind of always had that, like, she feels bad because they've had their past. Yes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I like that they're doing it. And I like that we saw, like, Doggett going around and trying all of the stations. Yeah. I think it'll be very, very good for all the ladies.
And, you know, Ward has, like, she's not totally clean herself. Like, there were some moments in past seasons where she participated in some not so great behavior that the inmates did. And Tasty saw that. So she wasn't always the best example of being compassionate towards the inmates. But I feel like she is trying now. Mm-hmm. And I hope she doesn't give up. I'm hoping, you know, like, every time something good happens on the show, then later it's followed up with, like, some disappointment.
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully these programs are something that they can keep around. And yeah, that was a really moment of levity of, like, seeing Doggett go to all of these different ones. And I feel like she was sort of finding some ground in the GED one. I'm like, maybe she could stick around and learn a little bit of grammar. And
I think she's attracted to the teacher, though.
That's exactly.
That's why.
You think so?
She is. Yes. Absolutely. I know she is. Yes. And she's going to get in trouble with this. I don't know if he's one of those that's going to try his hand in it.
Right.
But she's definitely.
Didn't seem like that kind.
But you didn't think that she was attracted to him either. So
she's a tough one to read sometimes.
Because she was like, I don't want to do this. And he called her out and she's like, oh,
and she's like, oh, well, I'm Jennifer. Or what's her name? Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yeah.
Girl, your name is Doggett.
You better get it right. For a second, I thought she was going to stay in with the spoken word one with CO Hot Stuff.
Yes. Yes, I thought so, too. I definitely like her spoken word sucked. But there was a part in that scene with the education program. I wish I remembered the inmate's name, but she's a favorite because she came from the other one, too, with the really ugly teeth.
Yeah.
And she was saying she really liked school, but her socioeconomic situation
forced her to drop out.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's crazy that you had to go to prison to get your GED.
Yeah.
That's so, like, the irony behind it is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's funny to think about her getting out and saying, well, the only way I was able to get an education was by going to prison.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's tough. Different people grow up in different circumstances. And, you know, depending on what crowd you run with or what sort of, you know, population your school is in, mm-hmm. like, you don't want to be the person who likes class or who's the nerd. You don't want any reason to get picked on and, you know, or feel like you need to be protected. We don't know her whole story, but she's always been someone who's, like, curious and, you know, she'll spout funny lines.
Yeah. So
that one was really fun. We saw Cindy try to join one of the classes as well and trying to heal herself. She's still feeling super guilty about the whole situation with Tasty. Mm-hmm. And we see Suzanne still trying to find ways to, like, mend that relationship. Do you guys see anything for Cindy this season as far as, like, any growth or any sort of, like, movement in towards finding some sort of resolution between them?
No.
At all?
No. I think that she would really feel extra crappy if Tasty went through with the suicide attempt. I think that would push Cindy over that edge. But I don't know. Do you think?
I feel like Suzanne might be the Band-Aid in this. Like, she tried last episode. That didn't go too well. But she's, like, determined right now to, like, tell the truth. And so she has, like, her little notebook. And I like that even when Cindy was like, just leave it alone. It is what it is. She wasn't deterred. And she's like, ooh, like, dialogue. I like this. Like, you know, like, so I feel like at least what I'm hoping is that Suzanne's not going to give up on this. Mm-hmm. And then maybe with this class, because Caputo was saying, like, you know, you're going to be able to talk to your victims even if they're not there.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, maybe this might be a positive
spin. I could see that.
In orange.
That's what I was thinking. Like, he was really encouraging, you know, like, what is crime? Like, what is fault? And what is taking ownership? And it might sound cheesy, but I'm really trying to be positive in this storyline because, you know, we saw Tasty in a very low place. And we can't, I feel like she's such a spark of a character that, even though she's down, I feel like they're not going to keep her there for long. And at the very least, if she finds her way back to her friends, you know, to find some sort of, you know, solace in this terrible situation. I'm hoping for that.
I was definitely saying, like, how since so much has happened already so early in the season, it can either, like, it would be terrible lazy writing if they just kept it all like this for, like, throughout. So I can see a high coming eventually, but hopefully it stays a high and ends that way.
So, I mean, so let's talk about Tasty and what she tried to do at this end of this episode, which was, it was really tough to watch, and still kind of left confused at the end. Like, you know, obviously it doesn't seem like she was successful in the attempt, but did she stop it herself, or what was happening in those last moments?
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, did she just, like, freak her, like, try it, and she realized, oh my God, I can't do this, or was it like, oh my God, I failed, and I can't even kill myself, like... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think she stopped it only because the narrating over it, when Caputo was reading off the pamphlet, there was a part where it said, but you can't stop, you have to keep going. And I think that was like a narration to show Tasty hit a point where she's crossing, like, you know, fingers. What, I can't do it. Yeah, hopefully that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, too. I feel like this was, I couldn't even believe she did that point, but I think halfway through, like, she fought it. And, you know, this is a very moment of vulnerability for her, and she broke down, but that moment at the end, she pulls back.
I know this is kind of horrible but logistically I couldn't see how it would have worked anyways.
I was thinking the same thing, but I'm like, go ahead, girl. Yeah.
I don't know, Will, like, you know, not letting yourself, you know, fight for the chance to breathe. I don't know,
because the bunk bed is kind of low, and she's a big girl, she's a good height, so I'm like, you weren't gonna, and those pants were extra thick, so you weren't gonna get a good grip. Not to teach anybody how to do it, but just saying, like, it just didn't really
make sense. No, our girl Tasty, she's not going anywhere. She has to, like, we got to see some more stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. Onto another really, really sad thing that happened this episode. So, Lorna and her baby situation, devastating, devastating news she got from her husband that the baby passed. And she doesn't process it in that moment. And that was hard. But then you don't see her, and she comes back, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I still have my baby. And she's still talking about it. And you're just like, oh, okay, maybe she doesn't want to acknowledge it yet. But then now she's creating, like, an Instagram and looking up babies with dark hair and putting things together. I mean, it's very typical Lorna. Like, she lives in a place of delusion often, but this one was especially sad.
I mean, honestly, I had a feeling something was going to happen with the baby because I just didn't see it in the storyline. And I know this is crazy because she was pregnant in last season, but to me, I was like, was she faking it? Like, what did that even really happen? Right. Like, I couldn't see, like, this storyline going. But I definitely did not expect...
Yeah.
For him to come and bear that that bad news at all.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that either. But the state of denial that she is in is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because Lorna's the type of person where she believes her own. It's not even to cope or put on a front for other people. She's literally creating a false reality for herself. And no good comes from that. Yeah. You're just going to sit there and you're just going to spiral.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like she should be in Florida.
She should be in Florida.
She should be in Florida. I agree. Well, I mean, that's been her character. I mean, that's why she's in jail. She, you know, didn't want to accept the reality of a relationship or non-relationship that she had with a man. So she created danger and found herself there. With this, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, she steals a baby or something to keep this reality
going. If she were to get out,
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Because she doesn't want to face reality. Her mind won't let her. So she will make whatever she needs to happen to create the world she fantasizes about.
I know, you know, especially on, like, an Instagram or, like, you know, we have catfishes and, like, this and that. And I always want to know, like, the people that make these accounts, like, what's going on in their head. So this was kind of, lack of a better term, nice to see, like, the backstory. Like, we're saying, like, she's kind of not always all there anyways, but, like, this is her way of coping. So, like, it just makes me sad because there's a lot of people out there who do things like this.
And, yeah.
Basing it off of just the show, when you talk to the people who admit to being a catfish, they always say it's a break from reality. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is for Lorna. It's just a break from having to deal with an unexpected tragedy.
Well, yeah. Instead of, you know, having people feel bad because she just lost her baby, you know, she wants to show, oh, look, this cute picture. Let me get this great positive
praise. That's so scary.
Praise. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I feel like she's going to live in this fantasy world, and it's going to get a little creepier before she deals with the truth.
Yeah. You know what's extra deep when you don't? When I saw that she didn't admit to it to Nikki, knowing how close they are, I'm like, ooh, Lorna's in deep, 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 deep denial.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll see how that ends up unfolding. Piper and Alex had a couple of... Okay, what are your thoughts?
Piper is just annoying.
She is.
She has this poor me mentality all the time, and she has this sense of entitlement to everything. And
privilege.
Privilege. Like, girl, you're an ex-con. You have a job. You're lucky.
Yeah.
You have a job. Your dad handed you something, and he's not even on speaking terms with you. You're getting... benefits? What?
Yeah.
You need to be grateful, and you're pouting because you can't get a day off to see Alex. Go bye.
Yeah. No, I was feeling the exact same thing because it's like, okay, sometimes I'm like, okay, I do feel bad for her because I try to see like, oh, okay, you know, she's in this tough spot. But then it's like, no, like you keep getting all of these privileges and like fortunate situations come your way and you just squash them. Like as soon as something like is starting to work and she's getting into a place where she's comfortable enough to complain, she will. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're right. They're not even on speaking terms. He still let her have this job, as mundane as it is, but she asked for that. And when she was throwing away all the pens, I was like, why are you throwing away? Like, those are a lot of pens you're throwing away. And, like, they you could tell working. They were working. Maybe they were, and she wasn't trying hard enough. I don't know. But then I couldn't tell. It kind of seemed like they had a seal, so maybe they were his pens. Like, I just knew. I was like, that's not going to, like, you can't just be throwing away all those pens. But then for her to, like, just snap in her moment, it's like, you know, you don't get to have everything come so easily. Yeah. And then you think of other people like Tasty when she was released a couple of seasons back and came back, or just anyone else who doesn't have the security system of, you know, a father who could give them a job.
Exactly.
Who can't, like, have a little outburst because, you know, she can't listen to headphones at work or for whatever. Like, she just makes it so hard to ever, like, feel any sort of compassion towards her.
Yeah.
I know this is small, but it also, again, shows... her privilege or her feeling that she's a victim, she could do whatever, how she went and she took that cookie.
I was thinking
dude, those, that. Yeah. First of all, those are so good. I love those things so much. So I probably might have been tempted as well. But the fact that she went and ate that cookie, which she knew they were saving for the next day for this lady, and like just in her little pity party took it. I'm like, you are so
trash.
She went straight for that alcohol and that cookie.
She's so petty. It's just all about her. I can't stand Piper.
Yeah. And even in that interaction, her phone call with Alex, which I've been sort of every time they interact and I feel like she wants to give Alex grief, it's like, you're not in there, so you have no room to talk. But when, you know, she told her about the situation that was happening, she finally had a chance to tell her the truth. There's no one around. She was like, she wanted to get mad at her. And it's like, she had no choice. You've been in there. You know that. And so for her to be like, you know, I can't even get mad at my own girlfriend. Like, why would you dump that on her? That's like getting mad at someone who's put in a really tough situation and there was no way out. So it's just like.
It's because she's only thinking about herself.
Exactly.
Yeah. She's like, I need Alex to get out because I need her. Not like, oh my God, Alex is stuck in these crazy situations.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they have a phone. They can talk now. If anything, I feel like that she didn't see, like, Alex was trying to show her, oh, hey, you know, we have this, like, instead of dwelling on, like, what you don't have.
Right. Yeah. Because Piper always wants more. It's never enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully she can be fine with this. But did you guys get a feeling with when Alex and McCullough were in the closet?
I have a note of that.
Yes.
And I forgot to say.
Thank you for bringing that up. It
was so awkward.
I was like, is this going to go somewhere?
It's so awkward.
That was intentional.
Had to be. McCullough, what are you doing?
Like, do you think that she was doing, like, you know, she had the nice little lacy bra on.
She wore that lacy bra on purpose.
But, like, do you think she was doing it because she's, like, I mean, she's all messed up herself. Like, is she kind of, like, flirting with Alex? Or is she doing it, like, as she thinks it's going to help Alex keep
selling chargers. Like, that's what I don't know.
I don't know. It's so weird. Because the way she did it, she, like, locked eyes with her and both times. And yeah. Alex is just not interested. I don't know. It was super, super weird. But you don't see McCullough with a man or talking about a man or interested in any man. She looks like all of them, like, they're disgusting.
I mean, every guy that's around her, it's like, why?
Is disgusting.
Really? I don't know.
Except for C.O. Hottie.
You know, I think it was a little flirtation there. Yeah. I think she knew what she was doing, and she was just sort of putting that out there. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was good.
I wonder if Alex is going to feel like she has to sleep with her to get out of this deal.
Oh, my God. If that happens, like, Piper's going to, like, cry.
No.
If she finds out.
I mean, I would really hope that doesn't happen just because I feel like she's gotten the other end of someone, you know, unwanted sexual advances, that she wouldn't do that. Like, or, you know what I mean?
Well, it wouldn't be unwanted because it's Alex saying, okay, if McCullough's flirting with me and I need to get out of this whole phone charger thing, then I'm going to do what I have to do to get out of it. I don't know.
Prison's weird.
Prison is weird. It's very unpredictable. I'm just saying, it's survival.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would have never put them two together, but this show's weird. Like, we saw Liz Chick and Gloria have their little moment again, and they had, like, a weird flirty thing too, so sometimes you never know who the show is gonna pair up.
That's true.
Just happens. Mm-hmm. Before we go into our special segment, do you guys have any more lingering final thoughts on this episode?
Yes, just briefly, so we have enough time, but I think we briefly mentioned it in the beginning, but we find out that Maritza is not
yes, that was major.
And I like that. I love Flacca's love for her and how she had all these lists and she's going down all the numbers, calling and calling and calling. Mm-hmm. And then she finds the mom. And the mom, honestly, to me, didn't even feel like she was, like, I know they have a good relationship. Yeah. Like, that she wasn't even concerned that she was in the detention center.
Yeah, that was strange. It's funny, when she gave her name, it was like, it was like such a common name in Miami, and she had to go through this whole list. But yeah, I mean, they had established that they hadn't talked in a long time. She has not had any nice words for her mother, and after learning the truth, had worse words. So, I mean, I guess you're right. She seemed pretty disaffected.
Yeah.
But maybe that's why.
Yeah, it was kind of a really sucky moment, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a good relation between Gloria and Maritza's mom, because Gloria was trying to rationalize and say, but she did it for your benefit.
Yeah.
So you saw that empathy factor.
Yeah.
And that just tied into Gloria's backstory. So hopefully we'll see Gloria do a little bit more for Maritza and for Blanca.
Yeah.
If it's possible.
Hopefully.
Well, it's really tough because that's a situation that a lot of people in this country face, where they were brought in illegally as children, but they didn't know about it. They grew up. This is the only home they've ever known. And so, you know, the show is showing us firsthand, like, someone dealing with that. And, you know, up until this moment, she kind of had, like, a little bit of like a little holier than thou or higher, but I'm better than these people because I am a citizen.
Yeah,
which I really did. Like, I wasn't vibing with that. I was like, come on, you should still, like, that
it
doesn't make you.
It was
you
a little bratty.
It was bratty. Yeah. She was just like, well, you know.
It's very Maritza.
Yeah, and now she's finding herself in this situation where she's just like, oh, crap. Like, I didn't know any of this. This is why I didn't have, you know, anything, all of these things happening, which makes sense because, like, she had been there in a while, and if she had been a citizen, I mean, not saying it couldn't have happened, but that's a huge oversight. So that's probably going to be tough, you know, thing for her to deal with.
Yeah,
you know,
life humbled her for a quick second.
Girl.
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. Any other thoughts?
No.
All right.
This game.
All right, cool. Okay, all right, well, let's get into our special segment for today.
Okay, so we're playing a game called Who Said It? And it's just like last week, where I'm going to give you guys 5 quotes, and you guys have to say who said it.
All right.
Okay, so let me see. Okay, you got it. So our first quote is, darkness, blowing spots, like jelly worms.
Sorry. Say it again.
Darkness, flowing spots like jelly worms.
Oh, that was definitely in the poetry, like the speech, but
yeah,
I don't remember who said it. Was it C.O. Hottie?
Uh-uh.
No?
I thought I was going to say too, but I couldn't.
remember his name.
It was just Pensatucky.
It was her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can remember.
Okay, the next one is, don't worry. Worry face gives you worry lines between your brows.
That was Flaca.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Flaca, cool.
The next one is, sorry about that. I wasn't saying you're old. Sometimes my mouth and my noggin don't work.
That was Loose Check.
Okay. Yes, you are on it.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
Because he was all nervous. Like, yeah. Oh my God, Gloria.
Okay. What was he like?
Oh my God, Gloria.
Okay. The next one is, am I the potato?
Am I the potato?
You know this.
Yeah, I know it. Oh my God. I can't even like picture it.
Yeah. That was Marissa. Okay.
I like pictured it.
Oh, that moment when she was trying to tell her the truth. Yeah. And she couldn't. That was on.
This is the last one. I'll give you a hint. The name wasn't given, but if you can describe. Okay.
Okay.
I had a vision when he spewed forward from his mother's ravaged passage.
Oh, the guy that was driving the bus.
Yeah.
I was like,
when he named his son King and he was crowning. That's why he had
ravaged passage. Lauren had found someone who was going to talk babies with her.
I know. She's still going to be talking babies with
him. That's true.
That was going to be weirder and crazier.
She's crazy. But it's Lorna.
I wrote down two quotes. We don't necessarily have to say who, but I just really like these two quotes. The first one was when Ward was talking to Loose Check, and she said, avoiding work takes more effort than doing it.
Yeah.
And I was having a really lazy day today. And when I heard that line, I was like, oh my God.
Mood.
She's talking to me. Mood. And then the other one I thought was kind of funny was when Sio Hadi was like, walk like Rosa Parks did not.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
I was like, where is he? What's going on with
that too? That was so funny.
What? That was funny.
Yeah.
I love those. All right, let's get into news and gossip for the show.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So we know this is the last season of Orange is the New Black, and we're very sad, and we're hoping that, you know, we see some really good resolutions for these inmates. Kate Milgrew, who plays Red on the show, she told EW that, you know, she was looking back at her last day on the set, and she spent time saying how, you know, it was a really emotional last day. And she said that she actually gave a little speech. She got up on one of the cafeteria tables, and she blew everyone a kiss goodbye. And it felt very Red. It was a very Red thing to do. Sometimes I feel like characters are have a little bit of the personalities of the people who portray them. So that was kind of a nice little insight to, like, you know, what some of our favorite actresses on this show, you know, they've been, you know, with each other, working with each other for so long. So it's kind of like they're saying goodbye to, like, one of their family members or, you know, their friends as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you guys going to miss once this show is all said and done? Like, what are the characters you're going to miss the most?
Oh, gosh.
I really love Maritza and Flocka. Like, those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Favorite pair.
I'm going to miss Cindy, even though what she did was messed up. The previous seasons, she's so funny. And the only moments I laughed throughout this episode was every time a roach crawled around.
Oh, yeah.
That was the funniest part. So I'm going to miss Cindy so much. Black Cindy.
That was nasty.
That was nasty. And that was a developed roach, like a healthy adult.
And we saw that, like, a couple times. Like, the first time I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then they kept showing it. It was on her
And then it was on her leg. I was like, oh, my God.
That reminds me of that video. You see that video where the guy, he has a do-rag on, and the cockroach runs right across his forehead?
Oh, yeah. My God. And he's like, did y'all see that big-ass roach?
I wish we could have had that, like, ready to show.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully they have another roach in the next episode.
Oh, my God. But I really like that article of, like, Red talking about, you know, saying goodbye. I as I'm watching through these episodes, I want to look up stuff about it, but I also don't want to get spoiled either because I'm, like, trying to keep track. So sometimes you'll see headlines and you're, like, and you don't want to click on them because, you know, it's kind of tough. How are you guys enjoying so far at this point into the season? How do you think it's been? Are you, like, do you think it needs to turn it up a little bit? Are you happy with the story so far?
I think we were kind of talking about this right before we were filming. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's jam-packed. So it hasn't had a dull moment where I feel like the last two seasons kind of had some episodes that just kind of, like, even though stuff happened, it was kind of like
dragging.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm appreciative of kind of all this drama, but I do want some good stuff to happen. I do need like that arc, like that we're talking about.
Definitely.
Well, there's gonna be there's 13, so you know we're kind of. I feel like we're getting into where things are gonna start. But they're sort of laying it. There's still a lot of episodes of Orange to go. So
I was just saying too, like. Because there's been so much, I know there's going to be a major piece. And I'm just hoping that it's not anything bad. But in our very first episode, when they played that commercial of the characters describing themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And Danielle Brooks said, you guys are going to love it or something like that. So that gave me hope. So I'm just hoping that things will tie together. And maybe she'll get an appeal and then I'll leave off at that. So
I really hope so. I hope so too. Well, I mean, since we're sort of talking about it, let's get into predictions.
Yes.
Okay.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh. All right. So we're talking about Tasty. So you're hoping that she gets an appeal.
Yeah, I'm hoping she gets an appeal. And I think it would be really awesome if they didn't say if she got freed or if she. Has to stay. I think that would just be a dope cliffhanger for a series finale.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
I think it would be so amazing because it allows us as fans and as the audience to kind of just write our own story.
I would literally throw my cell phone at my television screen.
I think it would be so dope. I don't know.
I don't know if I could do a cliffhanger ending. I think I would, regardless of if we actually see her, you know, whether she gets an appeal or she ever gets a chance to get out, I would love for the truth still to somehow come out. Even if this truth does come out as far as like, you know, the other police or officer shot the person she's accused of. I forgot his name, the big guy. Yeah. Piscatella. Thank you. I would still feel like for the truth to come out. Just because it comes out doesn't necessarily mean she's going to get out. So as long as it ends with her story having still hope, I would be happy. I don't want to see her in a dark place. I just want to see her still hopeful, still fighting, and still, you know, looking at the next day and what could be done.
As far as like, well, because I know this might be a little tough because a lot of you guys out there have already binged some of this. We're still taking it episode by episode, so no spoilers. But I'm really curious to see what's going to happen between McCullough and Alex. I feel like that there's something kind of brewing right there. So
it's going to be comedy.
And you know what? I wouldn't mind it because I just I wouldn't mind it because I don't like Alex and
Piper.
Like, I don't want them to be endgame. I feel like they probably are, but I'm just like, I feel like they just need each other and they found each other in moments of very dire situations. But, you know, if Alex can find love somewhere else, hey.
Ew, not McCollum.
I like her character.
Not Wednesday Addams.
Not Wednesday.
Any predictions for any of the other characters maybe in the next few episodes?
I feel like Red is going to definitely, like, get worse, unfortunately.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's going to be the piece that's going to be that really sad factor where we just have to deal with it as fans. But I definitely see the dementia getting just forming more and more.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys think Warden Ward's going to do? Do you think she's going to, like, stick around? Do you think eventually the troubles of prison life management is going to get to her?
even though she's very green, I do hope that they keep her. I don't really see them having all the other higher ups too much in the storyline because there's so much going on with the rest of the characters. So I hope she does fine.
I think she'll do fine. I don't see her staying there until the end. I can see her becoming unhappy eventually and feeling like her skills are going to be appreciated somewhere else. And she'll probably leave on her own, and then they'll put somebody else
in. And Caputo comes back.
And then Caputo can come back. I would love if Caputo was Ward. Yeah. But I don't know if he would like that.
He probably wouldn't want
to. I feel like he's kind of like been there, done that, though, with Caputo. Yeah. I would like to see her stay around, but I do think all of the optimism is going to fade from her. I feel like we'll end up seeing her as like a Figueroa, like someone who's kind of like, you know, dry, like not a terrible person, but like at some point you just sort of give up and become status quo. So I don't know, but we'll see. I feel like she's very young and ripe and fresh, and so who knows what like will happen to her character. But all right, cool. Well, this is a fun episode to digest. Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And ladies, where can folks catch you at?
You can catch me on Instagram. I am B_Cheyenne, C-H-I-A-N-N-E.
And Instagram and Twitter for me, XOXOCESCA.
All right, and you guys can find me at Leslita Face anywhere online. And thank you guys so much for watching. We'll be recapping episode 5 very soon here.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.